You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Yesterday, Zoe Larson-Cumming had her first chat of the year with the Green Party co-leader James Shaw. They began by discussing the Waikerea prison protest, which lasted 6 days in late December 2020 and early January 2021. People Against Prisons warned that the protest was inevitable in 2018 due to the conditions at Waikerea prison that failed to meet human rights standards. In the prisoners' manifesto, they mentioned their brown drinking water, towels used for 3 weeks straight, bedding that had not been changed in 5 months, uniforms that had not been cleaned in 3 months, and being forced to eat their food on off of paper bags next to their open and shared toilets. Labour Corrections Minister Calvin Davis did not speak on what was happening until it had been resolved, and in his response he criticised the prisoners for not voicing their complaints through legitimate avenues. Zoe began by asking James Shaw whether considering why the prisoners were protesting and the fact that people had warned the government and the public about these conditions and the possible consequences for years, the Greens think that the governmental response has been sufficient.
Well, one of the reasons why Calvin didn't speak out during the course of the protest is because it was felt that having politicians kind of wade in would inflame the situation. And for that reason, you know, we also, the Green Party, didn't say anything during the course of the protest because we wanted to make sure that it was resolved quickly and peacefully. But it is really clear that there are some, you know, pretty significant questions for corrections to deal with in terms of, you know, what prisoners have been reporting about the state of that prison. And our spokesperson for justice, Gauri Sgaraman, has been making that point both before the prison riot at Waikerea and afterwards as well.
New Zealand has an incredibly high incarceration rate. I believe it's the fifth highest in the OECD. In the Greens' 2020 election priorities for justice issues, it says that prisons are a last resort because they're expensive and don't often work to reduce crime. How do you believe we need to fix this system? What needs to happen instead?
Well, we've had a very strong emphasis for decades on using restorative justice processes, which are proven to actually reduce recidivism and achieve the outcome that we're looking for. And I think, you know, I mean, we have to address the institutional racism that's present in the justice and corrections system in New Zealand when you've got such a high proportion of the prison population who are Māori, as compared to any other ethnic group, particularly including Pākehā. And so, you know, we've been calling for pretty dramatic reform for some time. Now, I have to say, I think that, you know, this government has made some kind of fairly strong early moves. The prison population has fallen from close to 11,000 to something like 8,500 over the course of the last 3 years, and that's as a result of the work that the previous Justice Minister, Andrew Little, and Calvin Davis have done during that period of time. But it is still extremely high on a per capita basis. And, you know, not only is it ineffective at reducing crime, there's actually pretty strong evidence that it increases crime because, you know, people, when they are imprisoned, become exposed to other criminals and sort of feel that that's their only recourse over the course once they're out of prison.
Also in the election priorities for justice issues, there is a huge emphasis on community support and rehabilitation. And this is also to address the racism and the way the justice system disproportionately discriminates against Māori people. What are the steps to moving towards a more community response?
Well, I mean, it's sort of one of those things where there's not kind of one lever that you have to pull. It is a system of taking a sort of a comprehensive view of the system well before you get towards corrections. So you need to be looking at our policing, our courts system, and actually what the penalties are in law as well, and what leeway judges have to be able to look at restorative justice and community support processes, and so that I think that is a cause that is worth pursuing. And you've got to remember that the previous National Prime Minister Bill English referred to prisons as a moral and fiscal failure. So I think we've got consensus on both sides of the house that the current system isn't working, and that we need to reform it.
Let's move now to the climate crisis. I want to start on an international level. Recently, you spoke to the US presidential envoy about fighting the climate crisis internationally. As the Minister for Climate Change, I imagine you must be happy about US President Joe Biden rejoining the Paris Agreement. What does this mean for the international fight against the climate crisis?
Look, it's absolutely critical to have the Americans back in and at the table. You've got to remember that the only reason that we have the Paris Agreement is because the Obama administration, and actually John Kerry, who is the presidential envoy on climate now, was the Secretary of State in 2015 who led the negotiations for the United States on getting the Paris Agreement over the line. And it was the US, particularly in conjunction with China, the EU, and all of that facilitated by France, that meant that we got the Paris Agreement in the first place. And since the Trump administration was pulling so strongly in the other direction, other countries with, were looking for an excuse not to fulfill their own obligations, have felt that it was safe to pull away. But with the Americans coming back in, it means that kind of international consensus is, starting to rebuild. So a lot of the phone call that I had with John Kerry was about, how do we not just kind of recover the position, but actually rebuild the momentum that we had before the Trump administration came in 2016.
The Climate Change Commission report has been released. What have we learnt from this? What are some of the key points for Aotearoa?
Well, I guess the key thing that I took out of the release of yesterday's draft report is that whilst the cuts to our emissions have to be incredibly steep in a comparatively short period of time, that we have all of the technology that we need to be able to do it. So it's not relying on anything that hasn't been invented yet, and also that it is entirely affordable. And actually, the economic upside may well outweigh the cost to the country as well. So it's both achievable and affordable. And so I took a great deal of hope from that report, even though clearly the scale of the challenge is significant.
In response to this report, Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern said that the government will make decisions later in the year. A lot of people are unhappy about this response, including the School Strike for Climate organisers. As the co-leader of the Green Party, where you've often emphasised how we're running out of time, how do you feel about the Prime Minister leaving incredibly important decisions on the climate crisis to a later date?
Well, so there's two things. Yesterday's report is only the draft report, so New Zealanders have the next 6 weeks to have their say, and so we can't really respond until we get the final report in May. But having said that, because we now have this very clear idea about what the general direction is, we can start working on the policy work that we'll need to be able to make. So, when she said that, she was really just acknowledging the fact that kind of we are obliged to wait until we get the final recommendations in May, but we will be moving extremely rapidly after that point. The other thing is that there will be some things that happen between now and May, so we're not going to just sit on our hands and wait until we get the final report. And for example, last week you saw that we introduced the clean car standards, so vehicle emission standards, which have been missing in this country, and a biofuels mandate, the electrification of the bus fleet, and so on. So we weren't waiting for the commission to make those decisions. And I think that what we'll be able to do is to look through the report and kind of say, well, what are the kind of obvious things that are really unlikely to change between now and when their final report comes out, and how can we progress those in the interim?
In our response to the climate crisis, Do you think that the radical and systemic change that's necessary to really hold off the life-threatening effects of this are possible when trying to keep every New Zealander happy? And as the Minister for Climate Change and also the co-leader of Aotearoa's most environmentally driven party, would you be comfortable with disappointing some people for a cause which you've dedicated your political career to?
Well, you're not going to keep everyone happy. That's just not possible. And, you know, over the course of yesterday and today, you've already heard some industry spokespeople coming out and saying that they think it's too tough. And I guess, you know, if we'd started 30 years ago when we first understood climate change, then it would have been a lot less tough. But we've kind of been kicking the can down the road as a country for three decades now, and we've run out of road. And it is time to really start to take action, because the window of opportunity is closing very, very fast. And the decisions that we have to make that are going to change the course of the next 15 years have to be taken in this term of Parliament. So, you know, it is just one of those things where it is going to require effort, you know, across every single sector. So in that sense, no one is going to have a free ride. But we also know that there are some sectors, like the oil and gas industry, obviously, where a greater level of transformation is required. Now, we're committed to doing what we can to support people and communities, workers and industries through that transition. That's a really important point that the Commission made yesterday, and it's something that we as a government have said that we're committed to.
This is a more personal, reflective question, as we're at the start of a new year for Parliament. And I was wondering what motivates you personally throughout the bureaucracy of politics and trying to get everything done. On a very difficult day, what motivates you to go to work?
We've got to stop catastrophic climate change. We have to prevent the climate crisis from getting any worse. And, you know, individual action is important. The actions that families can take is important, that business can take is important. But, you know, we've got to have wide-scale political change as well to support individuals and families and businesses through this transition. And this work is necessary and it's important. It's got to get done.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.